But first, in the past week, there's been a horrendous stream of news about alleged sexual assaults and violence against women. The details of these stories are harrowing. Several cases allegedly involve teenage boys. And these stories have come just days after new research from the University of Melbourne was released, finding that young people are now significantly more likely than older generations to hold hostile attitudes towards women. We know it's a problem. We've talked about it here before many times. It's easy to feel like nothing has changed. But today, my guests want you to know that there is hope and that it's conversations like these and the ones they prompt with the young people in our lives that can make a difference. So for young men, where are the opportunities to intercept ideas around misogyny and violence and offer an alternative? Because it can take a lot of courage to change your mind about something, but it is possible. And I wonder if you can relate to this. Is there a belief you held when you were younger that at some point you shifted your perspective on? I'd love to know what changed your mind. What have you changed your mind about? And here with me is Dr. Sarah Meagher, Senior Lecturer at the University of Melbourne. She's led the research project into misogyny and youth radicalisation in Australia. Sarah, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you've been looking into this. What did you find sort of top line?
So our top line finding was that the most stable predictor of extremist attitudes in Australia was the holding of misogynistic attitudes and attitudes that excuse violence against women. The key element of this research was trying to explain the relationship between gender attitudes and extremist attitudes. And so we were really interested in how these attitudes about women can formulate into more extreme types of violent attitudes.
So this is attitudes in both men and women?
Yes, that's right.
And what was the sort of age profile?
We were looking at youth as a particular demographic of interest because the Australian government has identified young people between the ages of 10 and 24 as overrepresented in countering violent extremism programs. But we also sampled a national sample of adults to compare with the youth so we could see whether there is a higher concentration in 13 to 17-year-olds or the adult population.
And you found that there was this higher level of these misogynistic attitudes in younger people than in older people, which kind of goes against maybe the sort of popular view that people get more conservative as they get older?
Yeah, that was actually quite surprising to me, especially on the gender attitudes scales that we used, that our teenage respondents, both male and female, were more likely than boomers, for example, quite a bit more likely than boomers to express agreement with a range of quite hostile, sexist and misogynistic attitudes.
Do you mind, like, I don't want to give too much oxygen to things, but can you sort of paint me a bit of a picture?
So we had questions from validated psychological surveys, like the misogyny scale that says things like women exploit men for their own agendas, it's safer not to trust women too much, women will lie just to get ahead, things like this to measure a degree of mistrust and I guess hatred of women. And then we also included a range of violence against women measures. A lot of them came from the ANROWS National Survey. And they include things like sometimes a woman will make a man so angry he can't help but hit her, or a male partner is entitled to use physical force if the female partner argues with him or refuses to obey. And worryingly, our Gen Z respondents were on these like traditional violence attitudes up to four times more likely than boomer men to agree with these attitudes.
If it's not coming, if they're not learning these ideas from the older generation, where are they coming from, Sarah?
Well, our research did find that there was a strong relationship between what people are exposed to online and these misogynistic attitudes. So we included a lot of questions around types of engagement people do online, social media, forums, live streaming, gaming, etc. And also asked them about like time spent. And time spent wasn't the big factor, but the content of what people were engaging with seemed to have quite a bit of influence on their attitudes towards women. And the key ones that we found were actually a bit surprising. We anticipated that maybe social media, online forums, online gaming would have a significant influence. But the three main ones were manfluencer or manosphere content, online dating, and online pornography.
Interesting. Well, two other people who've been grappling with how to counter these sorts of influences face-to-face are with me. They're both called Daniel. Daniel Principe is a youth advocate and educator and a board member for the Domestic Abuse Resource and Training Institute, the DART Institute. And Daniel Allars, Dan, for today's purposes, is the New South Wales State Manager from the Top Blokes Foundation, which runs mentoring programs for young men around the country. Daniel, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
I might start with you, Dan Allars. Did these findings from Sarah's research surprise you?
Surprise, I'd say no. Certainly, as Sarah said, the sort of content that we're seeing and like the messages that are getting promoted, like that's pretty consistent with that. It's disappointing, I think, is what, you know, to say is that, you know, the young men feel that that's what they have to say and that's what they should believe, to be a man in this world.
Have you seen a shift in the kinds of conversations you're having since the rise of these sort of manfluencers, I think the word is that Sarah used?
Yeah, a little bit. So, you know, I've been running with Top Blokes since 2018 and sort of the shift in the conversation, you know, post-COVID with young men, particularly what really stuck out to me there was, you know, the women exploiting men to get ahead, that narrative, which is really easily challenged, but we are certainly seeing that come through. But I think it's really young men, from my point of view, I see a lot of parroting of that sort of messaging.
What about you, Daniel Principe? How does this chime with what you're seeing on the ground?
Yeah, sadly not unsurprising when so many boys every single day, and here in Southeast Queensland the last couple of days, you know, year 6, 7, 8 boys telling me that, yeah, they see content online that says women should go in the kitchen, make a bloke a sandwich, that women are gold diggers out to fleece men for their money. And you're kind of like, do 11-year-olds really need to be warned about this? Does anybody? And the increased suspicion / hostility to women that all young boys seem to be bombarded with. Because when I ask them, are you hearing this? They all put their hands up. And of course, as Dr. Maher's research highlighted, the role of pornography as well in inflaming these challenges.
Yeah, tell me about, you've been literally out with running workshops in the last day or two. What have been coming up in these sessions?
Yeah, so hearing from boys themselves who are being presented with information about women that so frames them as this other, this enemy, this person that's out to get you. And then, of course, I playfully say to them, boys, are you talking to women and girls in real life, right? You know, and when I say that to the college students, they jokingly say back, no, we're too scared. And there's some truth in that. Do you know what I mean? And if your whole worldview, your frame about the opposite sex, especially if you're looking to have a romantic relationship with them, has been shaped by these vindictive men online who are weaponizing kind of grievance attitudes, victimization that the world is against these boys, it's just awful. It's so awful to think that that is reaching them before they've got to form their own attitudes, values, and hopefully positive experiences with people around them, irrespective of gender. So we have to get in younger and younger. That's certainly been my experience. And thanks, Dan, for sharing yours as well. I feel like I have to start with that critical thinking, that building compassion and empathy and not seeing people as an other that's against you at younger and younger ages.
When you're talking to those very young guys, are you worried that maybe if they haven't come across it, you're almost putting ideas in their head?
Sadly, no, because most of them have already seen this content. And I want to be clear, that doesn't mean they all agree with it, doesn't mean they like it. But if I walk into any class of year 6 boys and upwards and say, are you seeing these sorts of messages? 90%+ are putting their hands up. And then it's about us actually helping them think through it. So the boys are really aware of what's in the media cycle right now and the allegations and the awful behavior of men towards women. And they're already asking questions about that. And Dan used language that I'm sympathetic to. They're already starting to parrot some of the rationalizations that frame women as the problem in all of this.
Mm. Well, you're listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Daniel Principe, a youth advocate and educator, Daniel Allars from the Top Blokes Foundation, and Dr. Sarah Meagher from the University of Melbourne. We're talking about what it takes to change people's minds in light of Sarah's recent research, which found young people are now significantly more likely than older generations to hold hostile attitudes towards women. And I wonder if you've had a belief that you held when you were younger, at some point you shifted your perspective on it. If there was something that changed your mind, I'd love to know about it. Dan Allars, I wonder if you've found particular moments that people are more open to examining their own ideas.
Yeah, I think when we create a safety for young people to be able to come together and explore their ideas where they feel like, you know, they're not necessarily being, you know, talked to, they're being spoken with, you know, and that takes time, you know, for our mentors coming into a room. They need that sort of, you know, week on week on week, building trust to be able to say, you know, a young man can throw out an idea and then not feel like they're being torn down for it. They're being asked, you know, why do you feel like that? Where's that idea come from? It then creates safety. So, you know, with a lot of us, we're just too scared to be able to voice our feelings, both good or bad. So, you know, when we create a space for that and boys really, really, and I think as we, you know, you said at the beginning, we want to look for a bit of hope here. I think boys and young men are really keen to have this conversation and these discussions, but they just need the safety to be able to do it.
Daniel Principe, when you do counter some of these negative ideas, what kind of reaction do you get from the guys?
They're honestly asking quite a lot. Like, they're not actually rage baiting. They love talking about rage bait. They're genuinely asking a question. So I've recently been asked by a boy, you know, how do you control your wife?
Okay.
You know, right? And the other boys all went, oh, like they knew that that was an interesting question. And I obviously just answer it, right? We talk about it and it gives me a free hit to talk about hopefully what I think is a really healthy dynamic and what respect looks like and autonomy and, you know, having this mutual desire to seek out the good of the other, all this sort of stuff. And so that comes up. Like yesterday, you know, women apparently are doing this for attention, you know, putting in these, allegations of sexual assault, men offending against them, that's for attention. And then we unpack that because I said, well, what attention are these young women getting? We don't know their names. It's not like it's helped build their social media profile. In actual fact, they're receiving a backlash and would receive a backlash if they came publicly, like people would go after them willingly to tear them down, right? I don't see much to gain, but they've already heard that. But I'd rather them ask the question in the classroom so that we can talk through it and then finish it by saying to the boys like yesterday, hey, how do we want to show up for the women and girls around us right now? What would it look like to show up well, given how scary and unsafe these realities are and how we speaking about it could affect somebody?
You said the word rage bait before, and sometimes I do wonder whether it's kind of like trolling. Like you sort of chuck stuff out there, you don't really think it, you're sort of trying to get a rise out of people. And if someone had asked me that question, Daniel, it would work.
Yep.
They're like, how do you control your, how do you prepare for conversations like that so that you can actually respond in a way that's useful?
Yeah, I think for me, I've had enough time in the saddle to just practice like not reacting, being curious, trying to understand as best as possible the heart behind a question. And whether it is rage bait or it's not, I'm always assuming like this gives me an opportunity to speak even to everybody else who might be listening in the room. Right. And that is what I frame this as, like, okay, this gives me an opportunity to speak into this and hopefully illuminate some of the misinformation and the kind of manosphere talking points that pop up.
Well, Sarah, your report included recommendations. What kind of things do you think we need?
Yeah, I think in line with the Daniels, what they've been suggesting, we do need earlier intervention and a better messaging towards young boys that enable them to develop the critical thinking before this content meets their eyes. And so some of the recommendations I make are, you know, national mandating of respectful relationships education in early years, and also regulating the content that people are exposed to, because we can prepare them before, you know, they're accessing social media at 16, let's say, but the data also shows that this content is influencing adult men as well. And if we recognize that as a social harm that we feel, you know, as a nation, we were better off without, then I think this should give us the impetus to look at ways of preventing that content from being algorithmically amplified and just pumped out to so many eyes based on the gender of the audience.
So some of it is regulatory, some of it is programs. Dan Allers, what about the role for parents, teachers, people, just random people in a boy's life?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the online space plays a big part in how we, you know, get information, but, you know, we shouldn't give them too much credit, or we shouldn't really give them too much power, because the influence that, you know, parents, teachers, coaches, mentors have in a young person's life is huge. And so, you know, we need to be the ones having the conversation with young men about what a healthy relationship looks like. What does healthy masculinity look like? You know, let's not leave the internet to educate our young people. You know, we should be doing that. And I think Daniel gave a great example before of, you know, even, you know, our programs are structured and they are, you know, a lot of evidence-based stuff, but how we interact and how we challenge ideas is probably just as important. And that mentoring, that side of, you know, how do we have conversations? How do we challenge different points of view? That is what young people are really going to take away from our interactions. So, you know, constant little conversations with our young people is going to do far more good than just allowing the internet to educate our children.
Sarah, is there any sense that the social media ban for under 16s has helped stem this flow of online content?
We don't have data yet to be able to say definitively, but the teacher respondents to a survey I did, a national survey of Australian teachers, was overwhelmingly supportive of the social media ban and indicated that they felt like it would make a difference, even though we don't yet have the data to say.
It can be a really exhausting conversation to have over and over again. Daniel, do you have hope that we can make headway here?
Absolutely. I really do. I don't want to play down how ugly some of these attitudes are and that it has real world impacts. Especially my hearts are always with the female teachers across our nation who have been on the front line copying this and having to navigate this so disproportionately and unfairly. And I ask boys, you know, are female teachers respected as much as male teachers? And they say no. Like, they don't even hesitate. So they know that. So that exists. And at the same time, everywhere I go in every postcode in all sorts of schools, there is a growing number of boys who I think are light years ahead of where my mates and I were once upon a time in terms of their empathy, their insights, their critical literacy skills, right? Their ability to articulate a healthy relationship. Now, do they have the skills to create one just yet? Maybe not, but neither did I, right? So that's what gives me hope, is seeing these boys wanting more and how they engage with this content and how they themselves, I think, demonstrate so much that makes for a good human in ways that I think they're doing a better job. And sadly and uncomfortably, that those two truths sit side by side in my work.
Dan Allers, how about you?
Yeah, and I think I agree completely with what Daniel says. I think what we see is, you know, a lot of times you can walk into a room or a program for the first time and, you know, we've just started working with businesses and, you know, even my own prejudice thinking, oh, like, you know, are young men going to want to have these conversations? And, you know, every time they do, they're very, very keen to be part of the solution. They want to be called forward to be part of the solution because they know what's going on is not okay. They just need the language, the confidence to be able to call it out and need to be, you know that other men feel the same way and we need to show them that. So I see a lot of hope with how they engage when they're given the opportunity. And, you know, if we can bring more young men particularly to this conversation and more young people in general to this conversation, you know, there's a lot of hope there.
Well, Daniel, Sarah, thank you all so much for chatting with me today. Daniel Allers is the New South Wales State Manager at Top Blokes Foundation, which runs mentoring programs for boys and young men around Australia. Daniel Principe is a youth advocate and educator, board member for the DART Institute and an ambassador for the Women's Resilience Centre and the National Consent Can't Wait campaign. And Dr. Sarah Meagher, senior lecturer at the University of Melbourne. She's led this research project into misogyny and youth radicalisation in Australia. And yeah, some of the statements that we were talking about today might have raised some concerns. There's help available, or 1-800-RESPECT, 1-800-737-732, Lifeline 13 11:14. David has texted in saying, on misogyny, I was converted into a fundamentalist church at age 25. We were taught that women were second order pinnacle of creation, so they could not teach or preach. Thankfully, I married a wonderful woman, so much more intelligent and with much higher qualities than myself. And I realized what a load of garbage this church teaching is. Unfortunately, there is still an organization very active on university campuses promoting this horrible rhetoric. Another text, as a 35-year-old male, I still occasionally get fed misogynistic content on social media and other short-form video websites. I know I have to quickly scroll off it. If you dwell on the content, the companies will feed you more. These companies are shamelessly feeding young men destructive content to hold their attention and to profit off it.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.